I don't think Anthony Calvillo ever would have gotten a guy's face to the point that it caused someone to want to punch him. Just saying. Jim Popp, longtime general manager and VP for the Montreal Alouettes, joins us. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. Nice to talk to you guys.
Jim, I'm sure in your time in football, you have seen altercations on the field. And in practice, your training camp is usually when it happens. When something like getting into it in the locker room, is that common or is it more happen just on the field?
Oh, it happens. I mean, it's just like any family, guys getting into it, squabbles. Usually the players patrol the room and it gets broken up pretty quick, but it probably happens more common, more often than people think it does because it's not found out about, but not to the point where someone gets seriously hurt.
When it does happen as the GM, do you just let your team leader sort it out, or when does the coach or GM have to get involved?
You have to investigate. You got to figure out what it's about. Sometimes these squabbles happen because they don't agree on Xbox. They could be going at it about something, as silly as that, or it could be something that took place personally outside of the football field, down in the bars. They may be, might even be over a woman. But at the end of the day, you can't be bringing that business into the locker room. We have a great locker room. We haven't had a lot of this in Montreal over the time, but it does happen. And like I said, it probably happens more than people would believe it does, just simply because it's not exposed.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen many cases, and I'm sure behind closed doors it happens more often. Jim, let's focus on your team. When you lose a guy like Anthony Calvillo, and I know it's been a few years, but it takes time. You might never find another Anthony Calvillo, realistically. So you're just looking for solid quarterbacking. When you brought in Cato, did you expect him to have this much success this early?
Oh, not at all. I mean, hey, look, I didn't know what Anthony Calvillo was going to be either. So, I mean, we've been very fortunate in Montreal. When we lured Anthony Calvillo to Montreal, we thought that this guy was having success or could have success, and I based that off the teams I was with, and he was playing against us, and I didn't think he was with very good teams, but I thought he played well. And I thought, well, if you surround him with a good team, what could he be? And so he followed Tracy Ham, so we have, basically probably two Hall of Famers in a row. That doesn't usually happen. So you don't find the next guy to be the same person. So now Cato comes along, and he actually gets on the field really, in a strange way, because we were already a week into training camp. We were forced to bring him in because he was on our neg list. And not that we needed anybody at the time. We had three vets and two rookies. And we're going to look at him because he's on our neg list. We're not going to let him get away without looking at him. So we brought him in. And lo and behold, we got him sharp enough to where he could play in a preseason game, and he did fantastic. And then, we lose a vet in camp. We lose two vets the first quarter of the first game of the year. And there we were in week two going, do we start our fourth string guy or our fifth string guy? And we went with Cato, and we get what he did in college. He has just taken that and brought it to the CFL, and he's getting better every week.
Jim, I was having a conversation with some football coaches the other day, and we were talking about the development of quarterback. And if you look at the NCAA now, a lot of it is really systems. The quarterback looks to the sidelines, and the coach has got the big board out, and so the play, you look on your wrist, and you don't really have to necessarily pick up what the defense says. You're just listening to what your coach says. How is that a concern? Because, a lot of the CFL quarterbacks come from those same programs. How much of is that a concern, and do you think we're going to evolve into maybe more of that at the pro level, because ultimately more quarterbacks are getting taught to play that way rather than be in the pocket and read defenses?
Well, they still have to read coverages, but it is simplified for them. But the unique thing that's going on in college football is they're all running a spread offense. A lot of them are, which is really what the CFL is and has been. And now the NFL, they're having to run it because most of the college quarterbacks are this type of player. So it actually fits our league. And I was having an interesting conversation with someone the other day, and they asked me the question, is it better to get a kid right out of college versus him being in the NFL camp for 3 or 4 years on a roster being taught a different style of football. And I said, you know, interesting enough, most of the guys that seem to come straight from college to the CFL seem to have more success than the guys that spend any length of time in the NFL. And I think it's because it's an easier transition of teaching them. So everybody could juggle that one, but I'm not sure what to follow. But I'm not so sure it's not easier to bring them right out of school.
Jim Popp, general manager of the Montreal Alouettes, joins us. Going back to your neg list, Jim, how often are you taking guys on and off of the neg list?
Traditionally, we've sat on guys for a lot of years. I mean, as much as 10 years.
Wow.
But we usually find people we like, we sit on them, we hold them until hopefully we get them one day until we realize it isn't going to happen. But, you know, you always come across players you have to, you know, that you feel like, well, we may get this guy before that one. So, then, you know, there's a shuffle of guys at times, but we usually sit on ours pretty long term.
Jim, there's been a lot of people wondering, you know, ways to grow the game in the CFL. And, you know, nowadays with the internet, fans want to know as much as they can about teams. What would be your thoughts if, you know, the neg lists, there was some website that fans could go see who was on a team's respective neg list? Would that be a good thing for the league?
Well, personally, I don't think we should have a neg list. I'm one of the few that's totally against it. I think players should be free agents. I think that, you know, when there's teams in the league that struggle to equalize it, you know, if a team doesn't have a quarterback, that every quarterback out there is free to the player. The neg list traditionally has been a way to help control salaries, but we have a salary cap now. So I personally think that there shouldn't be a negotiation list. Now, if you're going to expose the negotiation list, the problem with that is, you know, there's a lot of tampering that goes on even when it's not exposed. But when you expose it, then people, the rules to the neg list are when a player, you're required to offer a contract within 10 days or you have to take them off your list. And by exposing it, once you get into the season, not all teams are trying to make moves or change people, and they're really put in a very difficult position at that point to have to be forced to offer a contract because another team may be trying to lure them off. So if we're going to get to that point, then why have a neg list? Let's just get rid of it so everybody's free to rein on everybody.
Well, Jay, I love that idea because you're right. I think it's you have some people that not that you necessarily hoard it, but you might look at it and a player might come, like if you're a quarterback and when you had Anthony Calvillo in Montreal and the quarterback's on your neg list, he's not, you know, oblivious to the fact that there's pretty slim chance he's going to play, right? And so maybe that guy could play in the league and make the league better if he went somewhere else.
100%. This is the best way to get the best players to the CFL is for them to be free. But again, we have a salary cap, so we're not going to be blowing salaries out of the water. And once you have an established quarterback, you can't go bid on someone that may be able to help you. But a team that's really struggling, you know, right now there's probably, I'm guessing, 80 to 90 quarterbacks tied up on neg lists that a team cannot even speak to. And they're not coming to the CFL. So, you know, listen, it's also a reminder for some of the teams that may not recruit and scout as well as some other teams of who is there, and then it creates tampering. So I'm just a huge fan of getting rid of it, and I can't get everybody on board, but I just don't think we should have it.
Has it ever come up, like, is it an obvious 8-1 against you, or has it gotten closer in years as other GMs?
Oh, I would say out of 9 teams right now, we are probably got 2 to 3 people that aren't real sure. There's at least 2 to 3 of us that would be in favor of definitely getting rid of it. I know the league office would like to get rid of it. And then, you know, you got the other 3 that are strongly against it. So there's not enough to vote it through to say, hey, we're getting rid of it, because people still feel that they can help control their salaries with it. In some degree, maybe a little bit, but it shouldn't matter in this day and time with the salary cap. So at one time before the salary cap, it helped a lot. And now it probably helps very little other than to keep some of the best players that we probably could get to our league,
Jim Popp, general manager of the Montreal Alouettes, joins us. Great points, Jim. Quickly, you brought in a few veteran receivers in Nick Lewis and Fred Stamps. How have they fit in your organization?
They've done great. They're great leaders. They're very good human beings. They fit well in our locker room. We got a great locker room. I just kind of took a philosophy this year that I got young quarterbacks that are inexperienced. We were having to rebuild our receiving core and just felt like having a veteran receiving core would help bring the younger quarterbacks along, a lot quicker. Lo and behold, never knowing we're going to be using a Cato coming right out of college who was deemed 15 at one point. So it's helped a lot from that standpoint.
Looking at your season, the record, you're 2-4. Obviously, I think you would prefer to be in a better place. When you evaluate the first third of the season, what have you liked the most about your team, and what are the areas you feel you're going to need to improve if you want to get to the playoffs?
Well, first of all, we have a tremendous locker room. We got very good talent. We got guys who fight hard. They have for the last 3 years when we kind of struggled. They don't give up. But they give us a chance to win every week. What do we have to do better? Well, the four games we've lost by a total of 12 points. We've lost the turnover battle, I believe, in those four games, 14-1. Penalties at the wrong time. We got to call better plays in the right situations. We kind of have an Achilles heel of not stop as good a defense as we've had. We haven't done great stopping people in the last 3 minutes of a game. We've given up the lead in three of those four games down the stretch, lost them in the closing 2 to 3 minutes. So, those are things we can do a lot better as an overall organization, not just player performance, but all of us as performance. And if we do that, we're going to win a lot of games. We realistically feel like we should be 6-0. And if you wanted to say we lost two of them, then 4-2, we'd still be in first place. We shouldn't be 2-4.
Well, yeah, look, you've defeated Calgary and Hamilton, who most people consider maybe the two best teams in the league. So you've got to feel confident that your team can compete, but maybe frustrated that you're losing games that you should win.
There's a lot of frustration. I mean, again, the last 2 weeks, we should have won in Calgary. We could have and should have really won in Ottawa this week. I mean, I know at one point, we beat the two Grey Cup teams, and then we lost to the two teams that had the worst record in the league the year before, which are also improved teams. But, it's a balanced league. It's pro sports. Anybody can beat each other. And at the end of the day, woulda, coulda, shoulda doesn't count. You got to find a way to do it. And some teams are, and right now we have it. We got to find that magic like we did in the back half of the season last year.
Jim, always great to talk football with you, and I hope the neg list is something that we don't have in the future. I love your idea. I'll help you pump it up as much as I can because I'm with you. I don't think it helps the league at all.
Yeah, please do. Let's get rid of it so that there's free rein on all players. Let's go.
All right, appreciate it. I love it. Jim Popp, the GM of the Alouette. And it's a great point.